This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I am Meera Sivasuthi. It is our Doctor in the House series. Dr. George Lee, consultant neurologist in the studio with me. George, how
Hello,
are you?
Hello, Meera. I'm very good.
Yes.
Well, you know, today is our third consecutive Friday before the long weekend.
Yep.
And then obviously everyone's excited. We've got Malaysia Day coming up and we just celebrated Merdeka. And we've
Happy
got
Mid-Autumn Festival.
Happy Mid-Autumn Festival as well.
Yes.
Even though it's on Friday the 13th.
I know, but then it's supposed to be full moon and we don't see anything.
That's
I don't
right.
think we're ever going to see anything tonight.
That's why I say that there's that dampening haze
yeah.
out there that is putting everyone's spirit down, right?
Yes.
So we need to talk about it.
We have to. And so joining us, Dr. Ernest Bo, a consultant respiratory physician. Welcome to the show, Dr. Ernest. How are you today?
Hello, Meera. I'm good.
Is your clinic busy after, you know, over the last 2-3 weeks, perhaps?
Extremely. Over the past 2 weeks, I've yeah. barely gotten enough sleep.
Right.
Yeah. How bad is it?
I see the black circles around my eyes.
Yeah. What have you, want to describe, who are you seeing? I mean, who's been the most affected by the haze?
I think patients that have underlying respiratory problems generally do develop complications during this period of time.
Mm-hmm.
So asthmatic patients.
For example, what sort of existing respiratory problems that they have?
So asthmatic patients, as I've mentioned, and patients with underlying COPD, so patients who smoke and who develop emphysema.
Mm.
And of course, you have patients with more serious illness, such as lung cancer. These patients generally do much worse during this period of time.
Okay. Just to let you know, the API readings as of 3 p.m., the worst so far seems to be in Johan Sitia in Klang at 225. And that is really quite high. I mean, I think some of the other places it's 100 over 178. But Johan Sitia seems to be doing quite badly. But
I'm a mere urologist, so I don't even understand.
Mean?
What does that mean?
Yes, I mean, we talk about the PM2.5, which is particulate matter, Dr. Ernest. What does that mean?
Okay, so the magic number of 2.5 has been the most widely talked about. It is in a matter that is small enough to reach the most distal parts of your lungs. So it can penetrate into your bloodstream and travel across the body to cause oxidative stress and damage.
Okay.
And how does that affect the lung? I mean, what happens inside?
Yeah. So I mean, these particles are small enough to go right down into your blood vessels at the tips of what this structure called alveoli, which is the terminal part of the lungs. And these particles will travel around the body, causing oxidative stress. So it could cause problems like heart problems as well, atherosclerosis. So and damage of the lining of the blood vessels supplying the blood to the heart, and patients can can come down with a heart attack and stroke. It also changes how your blood clots in certain ways, and you can easily develop a stroke over a period of years.
Oxidative stress. Mm. Could you tell me a bit more about that? What is it?
So, I mean, all these particulate matters, they originate from all this biomass that's burning, and they can consist of organic and inorganic compounds.
Right.
And you have a lot of these organic carbons and nitrogen dioxide, sulfur dioxide, carbon monoxide, and all these things in the long run, if you're exposed to it, in the long run can cause damage.
So what you're saying is it gets into your bloodstream. All these foreign
particles
get into your bloodstream.
Pollutants.
And but you know, even if there's no haze, it's said that, you know, environmental pollution is huge. It is causing a whole load of havoc around the world, not just here in Malaysia. Leave the haze aside. I mean, that's like double whammy. But isn't that already causing a whole load of issues?
It is, especially in the whole region of middle-income and low-income countries such as Southeast Asia. Definitely the pollutants in this part of the world is much more than in more developed countries.
Right.
And they have postulated even in the Lancet published the global burden of disease, and they showed that almost up to 20% of patients actually have a premature death due to chronic exposure to pollutants
right.
in okay. this part of the world.
So it's essentially it's a silent killer that
Correct.
We're breathing in. Mm-hmm.
But can we actually say for sure that pollution is killing us?
Oh, that's a very, very controversial topic.
Yeah, and I mean, how do you prove that?
Yeah.
So it's been a widely speculated, but there have been studies that they are able to measure particulate matters that get into the body, and they're exposed to separate, for example, they were studying patients that were chronically exposed to particulate matters through traveling by a car or a mm-hmm. vehicle versus those that take the jogging or the cycling method to work every single day in different parts of the world. And they were able to prove that patients who were, for example, taking the normal route, the active way, walking, jogging, cycling, mm-hmm. actually have high exposure to these particulate matters. Mm-hmm. They are able to measure in a certain way.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I guess those pollutants shouldn't be in our bloodstream. Mm-hmm. If they're in bloodstream, they cannot be doing any good to us, right?
No, absolutely not.
But to the extent whether it kills us or not, it's a silent killer. I guess, you know, just like the global warming, you get President of the United States saying that it's a hoax and then other people, it's just difficult to prove. Mm.
Isn't there a way of the body getting rid of this pollutant? I mean, just like all other waste and, you know, foreign matter, it has a way of, it gets out of our system some way or another.
Correct. I think our immune system can detect foreign antigens and remove it to a certain extent. But mm-hmm. I think when the exposure happens over a long period of time, the body may get used to it and they just de-recognize that thing as something foreign. And that's mm-hmm. when the sort of things cause problems in the body.
Okay. I mean, Dr. Ernest, I want to point out the absolute obvious, right? I mean, today I saw a client who is from China and I kind of mentioned that, oh, I'm sure you are kind of dampened your spirit about, mid-autumn festival with this hazy sky. And then he's from Beijing and he kind of said, it's like that for the last 8 years in Beijing, right? Okay. So if somebody who's so used to that sort of environment, and then are they data to show that their premature death or exacerbated respiratory problems in countries or regions like that?
So the Global Burden of Disease paper did show that in different parts of the world, particularly, as I mentioned, middle-income or low-income countries, the patients actually have premature deaths due to cardiovascular or cerebrovascular disease. Mm-hmm. And the prevalence of lung cancer is also increased in those areas.
Of course, yeah.
So is that also why we're seeing non-smokers getting lung cancer now?
So, I mean, it's widely known that air pollution is one of the cause of lung cancer as well, and even in non-smokers.
So how don't breathe?
Right.
What do you do?
This is a part where, you know, a lot of people, probably listeners out there, want to find out from you whether those masks work or not, whether they should be wearing something, a humidifier at home, close the window, stay indoor, whether any of those measures is stopping them from getting the haze. Yes. I think we should encourage them to call in.
Yes, so give us a call. The number is 0377332900, WhatsApp 0187899899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, you've spoken about short-term and long-term effects. Short-term being what? Cardiovascular, respiratory illness? No, that's long-term, would you say? What's short-term?
Well, short-term is it's easy for them to pick up respiratory infections during mm-hmm. this period of time. So the flu bug is very common at this point of time. And mm-hmm. then people pass it on from one person to another. So you do get patients coming in with upper and lower respiratory tract infections, especially children and the mm-hmm. elderly who are more prone to such infections. And you'll see you have watery eyes, conjunctivitis, sinusitis flaring up. And so all this can be the short-term effect of the haze.
Okay. And then the long-term, of course, you find the rest of it.
Yeah.
Brain development in young children, is that affected by air pollution?
Well, so that's not proven, and that's a whole new area that they are researching on. So they have it's hypothesis that pollution actually causes premature birth and halts their growth development, and you know, because there's all this sort of neurological damage in children and all.
So now we blame the parents, we blame the food, we can even blame the air we breathe, the light. Okay, I mean, Ernest, can you describe a little bit about the situation on respiratory wards in University of Malaya at the moment?
So I think year in and year out, and especially in the previous few years where the haze was a little bit more severe, there is always generally a spike in inpatients as well as outpatient load in the respiratory clinics and all. So patients do come in with a flare of their underlying respiratory problems such as asthma attack and emphysema. Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's talk about emphysema. What is it?
So emphysema is a condition where the airways and the tissue of the lung becomes damaged due to long exposure to biomass or are burning of organic compounds such as your cigarettes.
Oh. Mm. Okay, so these are people who have been smoking, have been naughty, LTY included.
Yes.
Okay, right,
LTY. I was reading exposure to haze is like smoking one pack of cigarettes a day.
Seriously, Mira?
I don't know. I'm asking.
Well, both burning of cigarettes and, I mean, breathing in the particulate matters in the haze, they do translate to all these things that can go into your bloodstream and cause oxidative stress. And that's why we also see the increase in prevalence of cardiovascular and cerebrovascular disease in smokers. Right. So they do cause damage, likely the same way. But I can't really quantify whether. Yeah,
I guess it depends on how bad it is, right? You know, it depends on the index. If the index is it's exceedingly high, maybe it's even more than one packet per day.
Well, this is just air pollution, plain air pollution.
Without the haze.
Haze, yeah. Mm. And this is in view of emphysema and how there was some research that just came out to you know, say that. Mm. So when can you clean your lungs from this pollution, by the way?
Oh, it's difficult. I mean, we always tell smokers that even though you stop smoking, the matters can persist in your lungs and in your body, and that can cause damage years down as well.
Yeah, because, I mean, when we are in medical school, we have the gory task of going to post-mortem rooms and then sometimes seeing those lungs
filled with
black lungs.
Well,
and then that's probably just a non-smoker's incoming originate from Beijing or something. And then sometimes it's just dark, like two bags of air supposed to be clean lungs and just filled with dark substances.
Non-smoker.
That's right. Oh, it can be. But obviously smokers are a lot more pronounced.
Okay, that's quite a bit. We have a question here. Does using an air purifier, especially during sleep, does that help with reducing the oxidative stress, inflammation, especially when you have asthma?
So the concept of air pollution, I mean, the air that you breathe indoors is probably the same air that you're going to breathe outdoors.
So we are, that's it. So we can't stay indoors. We can't go out. Where are we going?
You go to UN.
Really? You move to Amsterdam or New Zealand. But it's not so bad.
No, we go to University of Malaya to get the to get the nebulizer
inhalers.
Or something.
Inhalers.
That's right. So you know, it that's true, right? Because if you measure the pollutants index indoor and outdoor, it's the same. But why would the Ministry of Health give out advice to stay indoor, close the windows and that sort of thing?
Yeah, and 29 schools in Selangor have shut today.
So there are many reasons, because outdoor activities generally exert the body. So if you go outdoors, you tend to increase your respiratory effort. And so you are having a higher inhalation of all these particulate matters.
Good point.
So it's just how you're breathing. So if you're at home, you're not likely to exert yourself that much unless you're probably doing something else. But
So the breathing is more shallow.
Correct. That would minimize the inhalation of the particulate matters by staying indoors.
All right. We're discussing the haze and your health. If you have a question, give us a call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018 789 8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. Coming up, Dr. George Lee and Dr. Ernest Bo tell us more about the haze. And if you have questions, please send them through right up after this on BFM 89.9. Good afternoon and welcome to Doctor in the House. Dr. George Lee, consultant urologist in the studio with me. Joining us also, consultant respiratory physician, Dr. Ernest Bo. We're discussing the haze and your health. So we're looking through the API. It's about 225 in Johan Setia in Klang. Now, I don't understand why this this specific place is doing so badly compared to the rest.
Yeah. You just see schools. That red spot on your table, right?
Yeah, 29 schools in Selangor have closed today in particular. I'm not sure how this is going to help us and what that's going to look like. Now, earlier on, we had Sevis Lee who asked about using an air purifier. Mm-hmm. You just want to add on a little, Dr. Ernest?
Yeah, because I was in the process of returning my air purifier. just joking. So, you know, it has a role because do you think it has a role? Because obviously a lot of people buying it at this sort of time when the haze is quite bad.
So there are many air purifiers out there. I think the important thing is to pick a HEPA filter. And a HEPA filter it stands for High Efficiency Particulate Air Filter, HEPA, H-E-P-A.
Okay.
Of course, there are not enough studies to conclude one or the other would be a better purifier. But I think these purifiers do play a role because they are able to filter out the particulate matters that we mentioned earlier.
Okay. Mm. All right. That's good. So for listeners out there who are thinking about it and have to look out, I mean, they're quite well labeled for the HEPA filter.
Correct.
What else helps, Dr. Ernest? We know that the mask, I think from the time we were in school, the mask, has been something we pick up. This problem has gone back all the way to 2002, I think, when the transboundary haze started. Mm-hmm. How effective is the mask?
So there are many different types of masks, you know, and the government recently sent a whole lot of surgical masks, I think the 3-ply surgical masks, to the state of Sarawak. And there have been a lot of comments regarding the government's move on that because we do know that those surgical masks do not actually filter out the particulate matters that we mentioned earlier.
Okay.
So the only mask that is able to filter out this particulate matter of 2.5 micrometer is the N95 mask.
What's that?
Now, the N95 mask is labeled as N95 because it filters out 95% of particulate matters in the air. The fine particles that goes right deep into the lungs. And these are normally the masks that we use to protect ourselves from tuberculosis when we are treating patients with tuberculosis because they are fine enough to filter out
the virus.
The bacteria.
The bacteria.
Correct.
Wow.
That's right. Okay.
2.5 PM. How tiny is that? Like a bacteria?
Smaller.
It's smaller. Mm. Right.
So it's smaller than a bacteria. Mm.
Yeah. I mean, so essentially these are presumably more expensive, more difficult to produce masks. Mm. How widely available are they in the general public?
They are available. Costly, of course. I think one N95 mask can cost easily between 10 to 20.
Uh-huh.
And of course, during this period of time, they fly off the shelves like nobody's business. So quite hard to source them at this time.
Can you use it over and over?
You can use it for a few hours, as long as it doesn't get wet. Once moisture sets in, then the efficacy of the mask drops very significantly.
You said hours. Yeah. So essentially, one day you have to change it quite
probably.
A few times.
No, probably one day you could. I mean, you need, depends on how
often you go out and how heavy you breathe and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
How strenuous exercise you do.
So would you say then no outdoor activities?
Limit your outdoor activities. As I said, the outdoor activities will exert you and cause you to breathe a higher proportion.
Well, this is where now I get a little bit disappointed. Mira knows that I have this lifetime ambition that when I reach 50, I want to do at least one marathon. And about 3 years ago, they cancelled marathon because it was in April and I thought to be the hay seasons. And then this year, they changed it to end of September.
And you are attempting it?
Well, I'm registered. I got my kit sent to me. So I'm just kind of like a half-hearted about on one hand. I'm a little bit relieved that probably no need to do it this year.
But you're forget
the marathon. Obviously the organizers out there need to consider what to do. Obviously, it's too early. I think it's on 29th of September.
Can you wear a mask and
run?
Well, if you've tried the N95 mask before, the air entry through that mask is actually quite minimal.
Restrictive.
So we actually don't recommend the mask in the elderly population or children as well because they might find it very difficult to breathe. And even patients with underlying respiratory problems such as asthma may find it very difficult to breathe through that mask because it limits the amount of air that you actually inhale.
Yeah.
So what do they have to do?
stay indoors.
So that these are situations where wearing a mask will not help you.
Correct.
Okay. Mm. So yeah. In those situations.
I mean, so obviously, if the situation is as bad in 2 weeks' time, I mean, is it sensible to just kind of like call off? Because is it dangerous for runners to be out there?
Yes, exerting yourself, inhaling a higher proportion of particulate matters. But there is some forecast that some rain might come in at the end of this month. So hopefully that might help.
Okay. Does it really help? Does the rain actually kind of like, you know, you mentioned earlier on if the mask get moist and then the efficacy drops, will the similar situation be seen if we get rain sooner?
So, I mean, the concept of haze is that there are a lot of aerosols and particulate PMs that are circulating or hovering in the air, we should say, and the raindrop may actually cause all this matters to condense and you know, fall, and so they probably reduce the amount of matters that you actually inhale into your lungs.
That's probably why they do. That's why they do cloud seeding as well.
Right. Okay, Miro can help with some rain dance.
I don't dance.
We'll do that for the sake of haze. We'll do some rain.
Neither
dancing.
Neither do I sing. question: is there an? Is it the air in an aircon room the same as the air in a non-air-conditioned room?
Good question.
So the air conditioner does not filter out the particulate matters that we mentioned earlier. So no difference.
So it is not. So the next question is it helpful to run the air conditioning at home when it's hazy?
There is no difference because the particulate matters would come in anyway. You're probably just circulating the air around. And so,
you know, not all of us can afford air filters and purifiers and all of that. So question here is, does it make any difference staying indoors without having air filters at home?
So we've addressed that question, I think, earlier. By staying indoors, you reduce your respiratory effort. So even though you don't have an air purifier in the house, you do generally inhale less of the particulate matters.
But mainly, I mean, if you look around, although many people put on their mask, but I think generally people lift it. I mean, people try to reduce their outdoor activities and just stay indoor without purifier or mask at home, right?
Yeah, but you see, you know, the guards outside, you know, all of them, those who have to be outside, good thing is they're all wearing masks, probably not the right one. But isn't it better than nothing, even if you don't wear the N95?
So the surgical or the cotton mask that's very popular these days with lots of designs on them, they do filter out the coarser particles. But these coarse particles are generally, the body is able to remove them on its own. You don't need a mask to filter out the coarse particles. You can actually cough them out in your phlegm or whatever it is, and they will remove it on its own. So you don't really need a mask that doesn't work, actually.
Okay. Yeah. How bad is the situation in your clinic? Can you die from the haze? I mean, my question is, can you die?
Have we recorded any fatality from this episode?
Definitely. I mean, we have patients who go into very severe spasms, bronchospasms, which means the airways are constricts and the oxygen supply to the body shuts down, and they go and we need to intubate them and put them on ventilators. And definitely there is a increase in respiratory crises over the past 2 weeks.
I mean, when that happens and when they turn up to emergency, what sort of measures do you provide in order to save patients in that sort of scenario?
Definitely we have to give them the nebulizers, so they contain medications to open up the airways. We also have to give them some steroids to reduce the inflammation that causes the constriction of the airways. So we'll try to
Why is it some airways. People obviously don't respond and then it leads to fatalities? Why is it they're unable to respond?
So in patients who are, for example, we'll take asthma as an example, who are, for example, not treated and their airways are constantly inflamed because their body is just generally more allergic to a lot of antigens and dust and all sorts of things. So when they get exposed to this sort of pollutants, the body that responds by constricting the airways and tightening up the airways. And by giving the short-acting bronchodilators or the medications to open up the airways at that point of time may not reverse the inflammation that's responsible that for constricting the airways in the first place. So it's because of probably long-term non-compliance to preventer medications.
Presumably during this time, you would advise them to step up a little bit of their inhalers and also perhaps their medications such as steroids. Would that be advisable or not necessarily?
Steroids, not necessarily. But some patients are smart enough to increase their preventer inhaler dosage when they feel that maybe today their chest is a little bit more tight than usual.
Of course.
And they're coughing a little bit more.
So if you have badly managed respiratory problems like asthma, you know, I think one of the biggest problems we have in this country is people don't manage asthma well.
Correct.
It's so hard for them to use those inhalers. They're reluctant to use it for some reason. Now, if it is badly managed, are you, what you're saying is times like this, it triggers and it can be bad.
Yeah, so we've recorded some sudden deaths, patients who come into the emergency department too late where the oxygen levels have dropped beyond a certain level, causing brain damage and all. So, yeah, it's important to educate patients on asthma and the compliance to medications, especially the preventers.
Okay. We're discussing haze and your health. If you have a question for Dr. George Lee or Dr. Ernest Bo, a consultant respiratory physician, give us a call at 0377332900, WhatsApp 0187899899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. Good afternoon and welcome. If you have just joined us, Dr. George Lee, consultant neurologist in the studio with me. It's our Doctor in the House series.
On mid-autumn
Mid-Autumn Festival, exactly. And, you know,
but dampened by the haze.
Two days before Malaysia Day. I mean, it is a happy occasion. But you know what? This haze is all over. It's even in Sabah, in Sarawak as well. So,
And it's worse there. I don't know why.
Not necessarily. It is. It is happening there as well. But for some reason, I'm watching Johan Sutia and I'm really, really disturbed by this. We have a question here. Dr. Ernest Bo, from consultant respiratory physician in the studio with us, helping us answer your questions on the haze and your health. Dr. Ernest, question, does pneumothorax, is it possible to happen?
Well, so we mentioned that the patients with COPD and emphysema are badly affected during this period of time. And yes, pneumothorax can occur with episodes of increased cough, high pressure volume of cough, and that can trigger off a rupture of the part of the lungs. And pneumothorax just means air leaking out from the lung. So the lining of the lung is thinned out by years of cigarette smoking. And when you cough very hard.
It's essentially punctured.
It's like a tire that's punctured. Yeah.
You know, I'm just curious, how different is something like this from TB? I know TB is a bacteria, but in terms of symptoms and what it's actually doing to the lung, is it pretty much the same?
No, it's very different. I think the TB bacteria eats and destroys the lung tissue, whereas the effects of cigarette smoking are it's much different. It affects the airways and it affects the lung parenchyma by thinning out the lining, and you can get air leaking out from the lungs.
Yeah. Okay. We have a question here. What about the use of oxygen kits that are available online? How beneficial are these ones? I have talked to friends in China and they tend to use it. Can you please give us some advice if they're good or not to help combat the haze?
Oxygen kit?
Yeah.
I'm thinking that this could be some of the oxygen concentrators that we have. What they do is they concentrate the 21% of oxygen in our air to a higher concentration and then lets you breathe in a higher amount of oxygen. But it doesn't help to prevent yourself from breathing in the particulate matters that we talked about earlier. Right. So no difference.
Unless you're constantly breathing oxygen throughout.
I mean, no. Oxygen, are these cylinders that we see that, you know, some emphysema patients may carry with them? Those
are portable oxygen concentrators or oxygen cylinders. But I think what they're referring to are machines that are plugged into your electric socket.
Is that even possible? There's kind of like a enhance the 21% air oxygen.
You can concentrate, yeah. So the machine can do that. But it doesn't prevent you from breathing in the particulate matters that we talk about.
You know, last year, bottled fresh air was in the news. although it almost sounded like a joke. Do you think we will eventually have to resort to buying clean air? I mean, like mineral water. Get in 7-Eleven.
Clean air from Bhutan.
Bottled air? Clean air?
I'm sure you have something quickly to answer.
No. I mean, seriously?
It's a gimmick, really, isn't it? Right?
Really?
It's like, it has to be, because how much can a bottle contain? And
correct.
We breathe so often,
quickly,
right?
Yeah.
So how many kind of like liters of air do we go through all the time? And then you'll finish in milliseconds of one bottle.
You're not saying anything, Dr. Ennis.
I think Josh has said it all.
Even a mere urologist can work out that this is a gimmick.
Question here. I have a question. Don't you think that we're lucky that our air is humid and it is actually helping us indirectly with the haze?
Okay. Does it make any difference, like, you know, in Beijing, if, let's say, the air is not as humid and hazy
so
situation in Malaysia?
So let's talk about humidity is actually moisture in the air, right? Does that help?
No, it actually makes things worse, because the peatlands that are burning, actually requires quite a high amount of moisture to stay burning. And they do not require very high temperatures to ignite. So you might not be in the desert, but why is it that over here we have so much fires? Because of the high humidity but low temperatures.
Wow, okay. But that obviously is one of the triggers for the forest burning. But with the humidity, does it lessen the danger of the haze, or it makes no difference at all?
To me, I don't think it makes any difference. I'm not a meteorological, but I don't think it makes any difference at all. Yeah.
You know, we have Chia Tian Yuan, who has actually sent us a message. And thank you very much for this, Chia, because you say you live in Klang. Johan Setia, according to Chua, is actually also grassland. During bad times like now, some landowners take advantage to clear their land by what else? Burning. So that's probably why Johan Setia is taking a bit of a beating.
Showing some red flags there. Isn't there a law currently that if anyone is caught doing that, there will be a big,
of course
big
there is.
Yeah.
But how do you go around
enforcing that? Yeah, you probably have to have someone patrolling the neighborhood.
Yeah, with big rotan.
How many people would you need? I mean, what do you think, Dr. Ernest? I mean, we always blame the government. Yes, of course. If there's slash and burning happening wherever.
We don't just blame the government. The two governments blame each other.
I know. But what about on a personal level? Don't you think that we can make a difference as well?
I think at this point of time, to what extent do all this actually contribute to the current situation? I think the amount is probably quite minimal, but there is a role we need to stop all the slash and burn business going on. That contributes to the situation that is currently quite dire.
Yeah.
Okay. I need you to help me answer that question, Dr. Ernest. Can you read it and answer it? Because I can't pronounce that word.
Can you explain what is bronchiectasis and the difference between this and other forms of lung and respiratory diseases?
Bronchiectasis.
Yeah.
What is that?
So sounded sexy, right?
Bronchiectasis.
Okay, do explain. Well, so earlier on you mentioned about emphysema, and then we also mentioned about the punctured lung, which is pneumothorax, now bronchiectasis.
So when we deal with asthma and COPD, we are basically dealing with obstructive airway disease, so airways that have gotten smaller in diameter, so they are obstructed.
Okay.
And so air's difficult to go in, difficult to come out, probably worse when it's coming out. But with bronchiectasis, the concept is a little bit different in terms of the airways. The diameter actually increases. So you have dilatation of your terminal airways. And there are many causes to this, such as tuberculosis, childhood infection, so basically damaged airways that have become dilated over time.
Right, okay. And presumably that dilation will reduce the surface area for oxygen transfer, or not necessarily?
Not necessarily. The dilatation of the airways, not only dilatation, but destruction. Of the lining of the airways. So there's constant inflammation going on, secretions that gets pulled there because your little brushes that push your secretions out of the airways gets damaged.
Understand.
And you get pooling of the secretions, infection, recurrent inflammation. So it's like a vicious cycle that goes over and over and over again.
Who does it affect, the bronchial exercise?
So many causes to that. Patients with childhood respiratory infections, very severe ones, can develop bronchiectasis. Just basically means damaged airways. And TB, tuberculosis. And there are certain congenital diseases that can result in bronchiectasis as well.
Let's talk about the older person. I think we're all living longer now. People in their 80s, 70s, they're also high risk group, am I correct?
Correct.
And in that group, you don't really need to have a respiratory problem.
Correct.
What is happening with them that they are susceptible to things like pneumonia and bronchiolitis?
As we grow older, I think our immune system will generate a decline with age, and our reserve in our lungs, as well as our immune system, all this contributes to predisposition to getting an infection.
So would you encourage the more senior populations to get vaccinated during this time?
Vaccinated with what? The flu vaccine?
Flu vaccines, and then, does it help?
I mean, generally, we recommend vaccinations for patients more than 65 years old. Mm-hmm. It's seasonal. There are outbreaks off and on. And
the influenza?
The influenza. So, I mean, it's a bit too late now, I think, to and to rush to the clinic to get a vaccine.
Just because the haze appeared and then getting the vaccine now doesn't necessarily protect
you. Correct. But it is generally quite a good practice to get yourself vaccinated once a year after you've passed a certain age.
Regardless of the haze.
Haze or not, okay. Are there preventive measures or policies that you think should be in place, or that you wish would happen so that you see less people in your clinic?
I think this question has gone beyond the levels of just the studio and even to the Malaysian Thoracic Society, and it's gone way up to top officials in the government. I mean, we need to see a more concerted effort between both governments in dealing with this. I think the ASEAN governments are too nice to each other.
Yes, absolutely. And that's why we've not moved on.
We need Rotan policy. Okay, I mean, obviously, sometimes haze, it may not be preventable in many ways. It's like you said, it'd be beyond the scope of this this program. But when it emerged, the Malaysian Thoracic Societies, what sort of message would you give up to the general public, apart from just stay indoor and then keep your inhalers near you and trying to hydrate yourself? Is there any kind of measure that we can actually help general public not to get themselves into respiratory troubles?
Very limited. I think that's our hands are quite tight when the air indoors and outdoors are so affected by.
I guess just to attend accident emergency whenever the situation gets
out of hand
before it gets too worse, right?
Advice, correct.
Try not to breathe low.
Hold your breath.
I can only think of that, right? What else can you do?
All right. Well, think of the rain dance. We're going to do that to get some rain.
I don't dance. Some of the good practices that you have seen, cities or places around the world who have put measures in place to reduce environmental pollutants. Yeah. Could you give us examples?
Well, Amsterdam is probably one of my favorite cities where people cycle quite a bit, and they reduced they rely a lot on public transport as well as reduce vehicle pollutants. They cycle a lot. You find a lot of bicycles in the canals more than anything else.
Yeah, that's right.
So
in the canal and beside the canal.
This is a very good point from another WhatsApp message. And this person says, I've seen a TED Talk video from a scientist from Delhi. And he says, if you're able to keep plants in your bedroom, you are able to change the air in your room. And he's been very successful. And this sort of makes sense because they give out oxygen and take in carbon dioxide. But does that help in when it comes to air pollution?
It may, because you mentioned just now one of the major pollutants in the haze is carbon dioxide or carbon monoxide. So if you're talking about just carbon dioxide reduction, then yes, that would help. But there are, bear in mind, there are many other particulate matters that are not helpful.
Yeah, so it will reduce the carbon dioxide concentration, but not necessarily all the other nasty stuff.
I'm quite skeptical with that, because you know how the plant reverses its oxygen and carbon dioxide intake according to the day and night. So,
and you need to sleep in a really big room with lots and lots of plants, I guess, right? One plant to clear the whole room. I think it's just too good to be true.
Well, you just need an exercise of taking them all out before you go to sleep.
That's right.
Okay,
we're in a lose-lose situation, right? Okay, well, our hands are tight and then the situation is getting worse. We just need the rain. Come on, rain.
Rain. And, you know, we need our governments, as you said, to sort of, you're right, we're all, we love each other. Yeah. We don't want to make, you know, the move.
War.
Yes. This transboundary agreement has not been, you know, ratified by certain countries.
Yeah. So, we begin to get other comments on WhatsApp now. Some people are suggesting some water curtains.
I don't know about that.
We're kind of like spraying more moisture in the air. I mean, how much moisture can you spare in there?
We're trying to put solar panels in. I can't imagine putting in water curtains.
Just like, unless it's like
a mini waterfall in the front of your house.
We'll do, multiple Changi, the jewels in our houses. Might just clear some dust.
Redirect your gutter to your front. Okay, I don't know why I'm getting involved in this conversation. Question, Maggie is asking, if a wet mask doesn't help in filtering the dust particles. So it's a myth and is of no help when we see people using wet towels to cover their noses during a fire like we watch in movies. What do you think of that?
I'm lost for words.
I think we're comparing haze to,
fire combustion.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, do people do that? Wet towels to... It's difficult to breathe when you put wet towels around your face, right? The moisture might get
I'm just thinking the gas that you inhale during a fire outbreak would be probably carbon monoxide. And that's why people pass because of carbon monoxide poisoning.
Okay, so excessive gas inhalation. Yeah.
But then with the N95 mask, you said it's tiny.
You have to.
With a towel, it's probably a lot more, don't you think?
I'm not too sure about that.
We probably just get those, Second World War gas masks, and then we're all wearing that, and we'll be safe.
Don't breathe, George.
Don't breathe. Okay, I'm holding my breath.
Okay, we're sort of coming to the end of the show. Would you have a message for us, Dr. Ennis?
Well, I think the message is already out there. Normal masks don't really work. There's no point in getting a mask and forcing yourself to... Unless it's the N95 mask, which will help to filter out the smaller sizes of particulate matters.
And you also spoke about the HEPA filter.
When HEPA it comes filter, to it's
purifiers. I mean,
when all these companies come up with the purifiers, they're having conclusive studies. So it's kind of like you can do it, that it doesn't necessarily help you. So. Yeah, sort of situation.
Okay, falling short of what you have to say. That's all right. George, your message.
Well, I'm just not looking out. You know, it's Zhongqiu Jie. It's a mid-autumn festival. I'm just going to enjoy myself, not going to be dampened like this. I'm going to get my mooncakes and eat it, and I don't really care about the haze.
For
a day. Outdoors.
No moon today.
No moon? It's okay. I'll just look at the cake, and that's enough.
Okay. Thank you both for joining me today. Dr. Ernest Kapoor, a consultant respiratory physician, and Dr. George Lee, consultant urologist on the haze and your health on the Bigger Picture BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.